Welcome, Hawk fans. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Talk. I am your host, Colin Cole, and I am joined by my co-host, the incomparable two-time All-Conference, three-year starter at right tackle, the man who does it all out there in the Midwest, Mr. Porter. David, thank you for joining me, sir.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
You know, I'm just trying to stay warm. It is cooling down nationwide, and I'm trying to stay warm. However, we are here to talk about the Hawks yet again. We have yet another tremendous matchup. This one, though, seems to be one that will be a bit more difficult than what they may have faced over these last three games, which they've been riding a three-game win streak. Having beat Northwestern, Wisconsin last week, and who was the other one, David? What else did they do? Purdue.
Yeah.
Having beat Northwestern, having beat Purdue, and having beat Wisconsin, they're riding that three-game win streak, but they're getting ready to go into Minneapolis and play against a Golden Gopher team that is also riding a win streak as well, and they are currently 7-3. And this Gopher team is for real. These guys are have played some pretty good games this year on en route to that 7-3 record. And so, let's jump right into it, David. Let's jump right into Minnesota's offense. Minnesota's offense is led by, I think he's a senior. I believe he's a senior. Let me look it up real quick.
He's a senior, yes, sir.
Yeah, he is a senior. Senior running back, Muhammad Ibrahim. He is the real deal. He might be the best back that the Hawks have faced this season. Most complete back. A punishing runner who definitely, like I said, punishes the opponents once he gets the opportunity. He looks like he runs to actually run into people. David, I've seen him run away from people, but when he breaks through the line of scrimmage, he looks like he's for somebody to actually make contact with. I think he's one of those guys that actually plays better with more contact. You know, kind of like how Black Panther was. You hit him with the bullets and his suit powers up, and then he's able to exude that power. Muhammad Ibrahim, he actually plays with that same kind of intensity, and as he gets rolling through a game, man, he becomes a tougher runner. But and let me tell you about his stats. He's rushed 238 times for 1,261 total yards and 18 total touchdowns on the ground alone. Make that stipulation, on the ground alone. The team, though, is led by quarterback Tanner Morgan. He's also senior. He's thrown 103 pass, 100. He's completed 103 passes for 153 total, with 1,324 total yards, seven touchdowns, and five interceptions. Tanner Morgan is definitely a game manager. He's more of a guy that they want to not make mistakes and let that running game do what it does. They've notoriously, this Minnesota Golden Gophers team has notoriously had running backs by stable. They've going all the way back to Marion Barber, to Thomas, the guys that we saw when we were back then, you know. So they have done a tremendous job of always having a stable of backs, or at least one or two guys that can carry the load, and that's what they are. They're running their rushing attack actually has more total yards than their passing attack. They have 2,212 total rushing yards as compared to 1,825 passing yards. So their commitment to the ground game is definitely serious. They definitely they don't deviate from that, and it goes to show by their receiving core, which is led by Brevin Spanford, who is their tight end. He has 31 receptions for 374 yards. Hey, David, look at that. Another tight end leading the team in receptions. So the Gophers, they have a recipe, and their tight end's major factor in that. The next leading receiver, Daniel Jackson, is a wide receiver, 26 receptions for 355 yards. I didn't say Mr. Spanford's touchdown totals, which is two. Mr. Jackson also has two touchdowns, followed by Michael Brown Stevens, Chris Autumn Bell. Also, they got a lot of hyphenated last names in their receiving core. Kind of weird. But anyway, so they definitely lean on the ground attack a lot, and that's going to be their catalyst to try and win this game up in Minneapolis at 4 o'clock Eastern. I mean, sorry, 4 o'clock. That's Eastern, 3 o'clock Central Time. What is the key? What did you see in this running attack, or what did you see in this Golden Gophers team as a whole, and what presents the biggest difficulty for this Hawkeye team, defense in particular?
Well, when I looked at the teams, I'm looking at both their offense and our defense, because that's kind of how it has to play out, right? Their offense has to go against their defense. They are, like you said, committed to the run. There's no doubt about it. They are going to lead with that. They have 2,200 yards rushing the ball. I believe it was like 18 touchdowns on the season with them rushing the ball. Let me double check that here quickly.
You said
But
how many?
these guys.
18
Believe
rushing
it.
touchdowns.
No,
No,
sorry. That
that's
was 18
Ibrahim by
for
himself.
that's just Ibrahim by himself. My bad.
31
They have
total.
31. 31 total. Holy smokes. Yeah, so 31 rushing touchdowns as compared to 8 passing and receiving ones. So they are definitely dedicated to running the ball. And the few games that I watched, you could see that as the game wore on, and like you said, Mr. Ibrahim. He gets better as the game progresses. And I saw the contact. He definitely runs behind his pads. He is a powerful runner. On top of that, he is patient. So, as an offensive lineman, you love that kind of running back. You love having a guy in the backfield. You know what you're going to get. And you know that if you just sustain your block, he's going to find that hole. And on top of that, not only is he going to make somebody miss, he's going to run through somebody. So if we were to, I don't know if we have the yak yards on here, but that would be one of the things I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, what are his yards after contact? To me, that's a really big deal because when I saw him play, he ran through, I don't know how many arm tackles and how many guys just came up and tried to tackle him. He just freaking flat out just hit him. I'm like, I like this kid. I do like him. I like the way he plays. I like his tempo. I like the way he carries himself on the field. The moment doesn't seem too big for him at all. So when you see a running back like that, that's a leader of the team, he's a senior, you got a senior quarterback as well. We kind of know what they're going into. This is also, I think it's senior day for Minnesota going up there. The weather is not going to be great. So passing the ball is probably not going to be the best conditions. So getting the running game going is going to be paramount. And I think Minnesota, with what they have with their running game, especially with their tight ends getting in there as well, and the whole team actually doing the blocking. You got looked at the receivers, they're blocking downfield as well. Getting everybody in and buying into the running game is huge, and they've done that. They've really done a great job with making sure that that is their thing. PJ Fleck has really got this Minnesota Gopher team playing at a really high level right now. They've had some really good games. They've blanked a couple teams this year on defense, and the defense, the offense just keeps going. So I'm very excited to see what happens. I love it when the big guys get out there and they can actually just hit somebody. But this offensive line, they are big. They're good. They're still a little young. Their center though is something special. They are going to be really, it's going to be a really good team to see go up against our defense. I'm looking at their stats where I think they've given up 8 sacks, no, 10 sacks all year, right? That's huge for an offensive line. Mainly because they rely heavily on the run, but they still pass the ball. They really do. And he said the Tanner Morgan's had 153 dropback attempts. Total for the year, they've had 221. And to give up 10 sacks for the entire season, that's something to be commended. We still have two more games to go, especially playing against our defense. I do expect that number to go up. I'm hoping quite a bit. But getting that running game going against our defense is going to be one of the things that's I think it plays into our hands. But for Minnesota, that's going to be their thing. They get that going, and they're not. I don't see them really shying away 90 times soon. I'm They may later in the game, depends on how the front beginning game goes, but they may end up being like Wisconsin. Like, we're just not going to run. We're good. We've done that. We're good. But that'll be interesting to see how this running game is going, especially with Muhammad back there. Like you said, he's probably the most complete back that we've seen all season. And with this team dedication to the run and commitment to the run, it's going to be a tremendous test for us.
Tremendous test, yes. Definitely the best back that we've seen, just all around. I won't. It's, I guess, the biggest thing for me looking at this game is these guys are definitely first in the West, and currently sitting at 7-3, they are kind of riding high. Yeah, this is going to be senior day for them, and it's going to be what they all want to send themselves out on and get themselves into the Big Ten championship game. Obviously, this is a great springboard, a great opportunity for this program moving forward. So, yeah, looking at it, man, they're going to run the ball, run it some more, run it again after that. And it's going to be, considering, like you mentioned, the temperatures, considering the elements, it's not going to be really in favor of really trying to get back there and throw the ball. So, it plays to their favor, and I feel like it's been kind of a broken record over the last few weeks that this is going to be one of the best offensive lines that this group has played this season. We said that last week against Wisconsin. We said that numerous times throughout the season. And looking at this team right here, and what they've been able to do, and what they've been able to accomplish, leading kind of the high number in the Big Ten right now in terms of rushing yards, it's a tremendous challenge for this group of Hawks that's on defense that's played against some really good teams this season. I have learned not to bet against these guys or to count them out. They have definitely shown that they have the ability to play very well in every circumstance. And we've seen a number of teams have great statistics coming into the game against Iowa. And this Hawkeye defense has done a tremendous job against each and every challenge that they've taken on. Obviously, not winning every challenge, but holding their own and proving why they're a top 10 defense in this country. So we'll flip over to the offensive side for the Hawks. We already know Spencer Petras is the man, the legend. He's almost up to about 1,500 total passing yards now off of 141 completions for 251 attempts, 5 touchdowns now, 5 interceptions total. Caleb Johnson leading the team with 610 yards, followed by LaShawn Williams, 329, followed by Gavin Williams, 125. These guys definitely, the running game has picked up over the season. We've talked about this, and we talked early on in the season what the struggles were, and at this point, we see kind of how this group up front, those 5 starters up front, have gelled and taking their game to another level. This group definitely is doing better. Caleb Johnson has done a tremendous job getting a rushing touchdown in each of the last couple of games. What is this? And Spencer, like I mentioned in the post game, he has been throwing interceptions and turning the ball over the last 2 weeks in a row and turned the ball over via the air. Last week he had to fumble. But what does this offense have to do against this Minnesota Golden Gophers defense to find some success on Saturday?
Well, it's the same thing every week. They got to create holes for the running back, right? Move those guys, and then with the pass protection, we got to protect. It's just that simple. Like, we're looking at 33 sacks for the season already. We just two more games to go, and unfortunately, that defense that they're going to be going against and over in Minnesota, they're not any slouches. I mean, we're in the Big Ten. These guys are pretty good over there, and they have some pretty good runs, some run rush passers over there. That we're going to see that if we get in third and long situations, they're going to be coming. If we can get our offensive line to pass protect better, stop opening up the gate. We still have those issues at tackle. These rush ends are actually quite good over there. But we get the running game going, especially with Caleb Johnson back there. hoping he's our starting quarterback or running back. We should be able to hold her on. We really just need to get the running game going. I wouldn't be surprised to see us get try to run pass first just to throw them off. But I would expect us to run the ball, get Caleb out there, get him like really sweating and get some work in with this guy. Maybe a two-headed monster thing. Sam is Laporta. He's going to be great at run blocking, but I do see them getting him out there. Maybe something like I don't know, a seam round or something like that. But we're going to get him going. We also have Luke Lachey too. So we have good tight ends as well. Like I said, this team is almost like a mirror image of Iowa when I think about the two of them. You know, really good. The defense is really good. They're predicated on stopping the run. Our defense is better than their defense. Our offense, we're trying to establish a run. We're getting there. We're not quite as balanced. Like right now, we're rushing. I think it's 900 and just under 1,000 yards for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we are. I mean, a lot of that has been eaten up because of the sacks. We get the negative yardage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're looking at almost a negative 170 yards. So tack that back on. Here we are. And we're just about even with the pass. Just about. So, yeah. So we're kind of balanced. We're getting there. We're more in the pass way. I mean, we're doing more of the tight end stuff, which is, you know, what we did. I guess we're tight end you still, which is who we are right now. Getting that offensive line. It goes back to the line. It does for me. Pass protection, run block, they got to be there. Hasn't changed. We've been talking about it all season, man.
You said you guess we're tight end you now. I think we've been tight end you for a while now, David. It's been like this for the last couple of years. We've been tight end you. So I know that at one point you were proud of them calling it O-line you. But
I really was. I don't know. Back when we were there, we were O-line you. That's what I remember.
Were we though?
A decent O-line.
I don't. Yeah, we had a decent O-line. I don't remember them calling us O-line you, but they had a good.
I don't know. We were O-line you. We weren't. We've been tight end you the whole time.
No, definitely wasn't tight end you the whole time. Definitely not.
So, be honest, we're defense you.
Right. Well, you know, you talked about Sam. You know, last week was his was that? That was Purdue or was that Wisconsin? He caught his first touchdown of the season. Nico, second on the team in touchdowns. Luke Lachey has two touchdowns. He's first on the team in touchdown receptions. So we know our tight end schemes and what they do in terms of how Brian Ferentz utilizes his tight ends in his scheme calling and play calling. So I definitely envision those guys taking on a huge role this week. Definitely. What will be interesting is the fact that these two teams definitely are mirror images of themselves. So they'll definitely be playing in regards of almost playing what they play in practice on a daily basis. So it's going to be a tough challenge no matter how you look at it. Both sides are super familiar with each other. It's just going to come down to how game is played in the trenches. So with that, let me just jump right into it, man. What's your keys and what's your prediction on the score?
Well, with the running game being paramount, especially with the weather and you know, this time of the year, I think turnovers are going to be a big factor, right? One, getting the running game running and then going. And then two, if we get to win that turnover battle, those are really going to be the two keys to this game I see. The defenses for both teams are really good. They're going to be stout, especially against the run. You know, that's our forte at Iowa. We stop the run. And then we dare you to pass with that secondary we had back there. Those ball hawks back there, man. Riley finally got his first interception last week. It was off of a tip. But people don't typically go his way. And then you got Cooper DeJean over there. And he's balling out as well. And, you know, Merriweather, he's just always doing his thing. So we know what we're up against. They know what they're up against. It's really going to be great Big Ten football. And I mean, the line right now is like 3.5 points. I think Minnesota's favorite because they're home and the weather. But running the ball and limiting the amount of turnovers, I don't see this being a real high scoring affair. I could be wrong, but I just think whoever gets the running game going first and limits the amount of turnovers they have is going to have the best chance of winning this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And putting yourself in that best position, obviously, is what your interests are. I will say the keys to the game, first and foremost, like you mentioned, I had to piggyback off of that, but in a different way, because it does come down to trench play. It comes down to trench play on both sides of the ball, though. Yeah, the offensive line definitely has to carry the team and create a new line of scrimmage and punch those guys in the mouth on the other side of the ball. However, the challenge for this Hawkeye defensive front going against what is arguably the best back that they've played so thus far this season, I would say, is probably even bigger key because Ibram is not playing games. He is a downhill runner and he is a ferocious runner. So it's going to be challenging, and they got to get 11 hats to the ball every time he touches the ball because rarely have we seen him be taken down by the first tackle, rarely. So, got to get him several hats to the ball to bring him down to limit any kind of explosive plays. So, my first key to the game: force them to have to pass, force them to have to find a way to do something other than what they're comfortable with. Force Tanner Morgan to have to be a game manager and have to complete passes for them to win. And if they do that, I don't think that they're built in the fashion of Tanner Morgan dropping back 60 times a game to try and win the game for him. I think that they're more comfortable turning around and handing the ball off to Muhammad Ibram or Trey Potts or Bryce Williams, one of these backs that have done well so far this season. I don't see them trying to really put him in position, Tanner Morgan, that is, to manage the game. So keys to the game: trench work, both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And then defensively, make them one-dimensional, force them out of running the ball and force them to have to pass and see if that's something that they can hang their hats on. So, and then my score, I think with the cold weather being what it is, with the fact that it's going to have to be a ground and pound, I'm giving it a 14-12 game in favor of the Hawks. Did you?
14-12, huh?
14-12 in favor of the
Nah.
Hawks.
Wow. I was just looking at the running game, the running backs we've gone against. You got Corum and Brown, Michigan and Illinois. And this is probably the best, the most complete
Most
running back we've
complete.
seen.
Most
They've seen them.
complete. Both
Yeah.
of those guys do a
Wow.
tremendous job of running around you. They do a tremendous job. Brown led the nation in rushing at one point. So, two tremendous, tremendous Corum. We know what Blake Corum did to us in the Big Ten Championship, as well as when we saw him come to the Kinnick Stadium earlier this season. So Corum is he's spoken for. He's done his job. However, what I've
Right.
seen out of this young man, Muhammad Ibram, that leads me to believe that he's better than either one of those guys. That's just the completeness. Just this, I just and this is one thing I want to ask you. I mean, what does that do for an O lineman when you see your running back doing some of the things that we saw Muhammad Ibram do to say just Michigan State? Just looking at that game, I saw at least five guys get ran over. I saw cornerbacks get ran over, safeties get ran over, linebackers. What does that do for you as an offensive lineman when you see your running back finish runs in the manner that he does?
That makes you want to block for him. You talking about getting excited? Hey, when we're sitting there, your offensive linemen are down here grinding it out against defensive linemen like you. Like y'all not fun to hit. Not, no offense to anything, but like hitting you guys all the time, and then like seeing this guy get, like arm tackle, and I'm like, really, dude? You know what I just had to do to get you out there? But seeing him go out there and actually hit people the same way you were hitting with that kind of intensity, and even more. He's delivering the blow as opposed to receiving it in the run game. Yo, let's do this. Let's roll. I'm ready. I'm with you. Let's go. Yeah. Let's take over the whole game. That's the mentality.
I saw in that Michigan State game, the safety tried to come up and hit him low, and he got they both out, they didn't go head to head. The safety got a little bit lower, but he ran him over and safety had to come out of the game. That's how ferocious this guy is. And it's like you said, man. I can see how you guys feed off of a guy like that who punishes defenders and just makes you want to hold it just that much longer, just to make sure that he gets to that level so he can do some of the things that he's been capable of doing on season. So I don't know, David. You got anything else before we hang this one up?
Give you my score, but
Yeah,
now
give
that
me your score,
reminds
man.
me, we talk about like running backs and get them behind. Remember, like Mike Allstott,
Of
like
course.
with guys was just like seeing him just hit and just bounce off people and yards after contact. Like, man, I want to get, or like an Eddie George, right? When they hit somebody, when they're out there running, it's actually inspirational. It really is. It's just like, hey, let's do this. But yeah, I'm not saying he's those kind of guys, but when he is out there doing that, that's the kind of feeling that the linemen get. But for me, with the score, oh, dude, this is gonna be a tight one. I think it's gonna be ugly. I'm going 16-10. I'm gonna go with my Hawks though. 16-10, Iowa.
Iowa could
Yeah.
clinch the West, or they could not. I can't say clinch because they still got to play Nebraska. It's still a full week of games. However, Iowa can definitely put themselves square in the middle of the talks of the Big Ten West race if they are able to pull this game off. So it's man, considering where they were at the beginning of the season and some of the losses, some of the things that we were on here questioning earlier this year, and considering that they now have an opportunity to still make it into the Big Ten West title game, I'm sorry, the Big Ten title game by winning the West is insane. But that's college football. That's football as a whole. Any given day, anything can happen. That's why you keep playing. You never know what can happen. Just keep on playing.
Know
Yeah,
it.
man.
4-way tie right now for first place. This is crazy.
It's insane. Totally insane. So, but we'll find out what happens over the next couple of weeks and who separates themselves and puts themselves in that position to represent the West in the Big Ten title game. But until then, these Hawks got a huge game this weekend, and they'll be playing the Minnesota Golden Gophers up. Is that the Metrodome? I don't even think it's the Metro. I don't know if it's the Metrodome anymore. I don't know. No, they don't
I'm
play.
not
They
sure where they're
play in their
playing.
own stadium.
No.
Yeah, they play in their own
They're
outdoor stadium.
outdoor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the point. I was like, the weather's going to be a factor. They're outside in 17-degree weather.
17-degree weather.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get ready to run. That ball's going to be like a
Back in the
rock.
day, I used to be like, yeah, let's get it. But couldn't pay me to do that
What?
these days. You couldn't.
What's the weather like where you guys are?
Weather's not bad. Weather's not bad. 50s, 60s.
We're snowing right now.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Hey,
Yeah.
it's your choice. It's your choice. You can always leave. You can always leave.
Got it.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. Yes, no, I know. It's not one of my things in the world, but
Not a fun day today.
anyhow, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap up there. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. It's been awesome. Appreciate you all listening and following and all that good stuff. Click, subscribe, follow, all those good things as we continue to try to build this Hawk Talk community. And yeah, it should be a good time this upcoming weekend. The Hawks got a great opportunity to pull out another win and put themselves square in first place in the West. So we'll see how it shakes out. For David Porter, I am Colin Cole. We are Hawk Talk, and this has been another show for you. God bless and go Hawks.
Go hard.